More footsteps on the stairs above. Occam, a voice called down in Spanish. Can you come help move Eureka's bed? A mango fell behind it. Well, most of a mango. Can you bring a sponge? Busy, Occam called back. Ask Cat or Robin. Que... The click of Occam's boots erased the interruption. I didn't catch your name, Mason. Martin Guildbreaker. His eyes widened as he realized his mistake. I mean, Mycroft. My real name's Mycroft. Mycroft Guildbreaker. But everybody calls me Martin. But I'm not in a cult or anything. It's just one of those nicknames that happens. Occam nodded. And Mycroft isn't an easy name to live with anymore. He was unable to resist glancing at the corner where I sat on a workstool, picking away at a scrubbing robot whose self-cleaning function was not quite equal to the combination of gum and doll hair. Martin is worse, actually, but words died. Martin's eyes had followed Occam's to me. My uniform, my ear, my face. Martin froze. Occam froze. Both held their breath in a kind of stalemate, searching each other's faces as the questions flowed. Does he know? Why does he know? Does he know I know? What can I say when he asks me why I know? I tried to ease it for them, interrupting with motion, though I dared not speak first. I rose and bobbed an awkward half-bow to Martin, reaching by instinct to remove my hat, though it was already on the ledge beside me. Occam caught the gesture, and his face relaxed into the first expression that morning which one could call a smile. Have we both been feeding the same stray? Martin gave a laugh, a quiet one, politely brief, but enough to make his stance less tightrope rigid. So it seems. Good morning, Mycroft. I renewed my half-bow. Good morning, Nepos. Occam frowned at Martin's title, an unwelcome reminder of this invader's intimacy with his distant emperor. Of course, Mycroft was also a familiaris. He nodded at Martin's armband. You know them from that? Yes and no. Martin had no obligation to be so honest. I commission Mycroft frequently. What for? Mostly languages. Hive-neutral translators aren't easy to come by, and a sensitive case like yours may turn up documents in any Hive language, or all of them. I fidgeted with the robot in my hands as I stared at Occam's feet. Nepos Martin is as fastidious about Latin as you are about Spanish, I began, and I do have some functional knowledge of Polyhive criminal law. Occam gave a snort that verged on laughter. True enough? And will you have Mycroft working on my case? An unreasonable investigator for an unreasonable crime? The Mason smiled. I'd be eager to have Mycroft, if you're comfortable with it. If I trust a person with my dirty underwear, I'll trust them with my irritating interruption. Martin blinked. You commission Mycroft Canner to do your laundry? Occam paused a moment, weighing, I think, whether this Mason would be easier or harder to get rid of if he told the truth, or rather what he believed. Mycroft is my sibling Thisbe's lover. They manufacture odd jobs as excuses. He nodded at the robot in my hands. I feigned appropriate embarrassment. Martin's lenses flickered with fresh files. Thisbe Sanir? Occam nodded. I know there are many ways it could be unhealthy, but I watch the psych profiles of my bash as strictly as any other aspect of security. A servicer has nothing to gain by exploitation, unlike most people one of us could date. Very true, Martin acknowledged. Mycroft is most trustworthy, and dangerous to no one. I'm glad they've found another bash that sees that. Occam cocked an eyebrow. Now you've got me imagining Mycroft wolfing down leftovers in the Guildbreaker kitchen. There is not no truth in such speculation, Martin answered with that awkward precision which infects his speech sometimes and makes more sense when you remember he's thinking in Latin. The two men looked me over now, and the surreality of it swept over me like headache, the wrong sides of the earth together, as in some dream when a long-dead friend and some recent celebrity stand impossibly side by side. But this was no dream. If I may add something, members. I waited for approving nods. I think it would help, Nepos Martin, if you told Member Arkham that your team isn't Masonic. When you do this work, it's for Romanova directly, yes? It wasn't the Emperor who sent you. Correct, Martin confirmed. In fact, I believe Caesar is not aware of this particular errand. I'm here as a personal favor for President Ganymed. Occam's face brightened instantly. The President sent you? Yes and no, ever honest Martin answered. Your President is not aware that I'm doing this particular favor at this particular time, but they know me very well, and they've used me often in cases like this. My team and I are not police detectives. Romanova sends us when polylegal tangles require an investigation, but the place is sensitive, high level. A senator's personal Bash house, or the sensei's conclave, situations where all seven hives need to be satisfied. But the effective hive's privacy must remain inviolate, or the investigation itself might cause more harm than the original problem. We solve things while leaving as many feathers unruffled as we can. When your name came up in the Black Sakura tracker log, Commissioner General Papadelius had the warrant sent to me immediately, to make sure your doorbell wasn't rung by someone your president trusts less. As the mason finished, it was my face, not his, that Occam studied, and I nodded eager confirmation. Occam's curious expression made me bold. If a little of my own opinion wouldn't be unwelcome? I waited for him to nod permission. Now that the hand of law is moving, Member Occam, I think you're not going to get a gentler touch than Nepos Martin's. I've seen their work before. They really do focus on delicate situations like this, turning only the stones that must be turned. You're seeing it already. They have a warrant. They don't have to be this accommodating. You can trust Martin. They're a good person, genuinely good. If you can trust anyone Romanova might ever send, you can trust them. May I show them the paper? Occam paused, and we all heard the scrathump of failed bed moving upstairs. Fine, through here. He gestured to a side door. And I do appreciate your courtesy, Mason, but I'll feel better when I've spoken with my president myself. I led the way from the Mukta Hall to a warmer room with practical chairs, neglected dishes, and an unfinished game of mahjong. As we strayed from the front rooms, no doodling zone spirals and zigzags like those on Occam's clothes flowed over the cushions, the wooden chair backs, even up one wall, like lichens starting to convert a bare island to soil. I think Martin did notice napping Eureka Weeks' booth, visible only as feet protruding from disordered cushions in the corner, but he made no comment, and moved only in my wake. "Your Bash has 9 members, yes?" he asked. "Yourself, your spouse Leslie, Thisbe Sanir, Cato and Eureka Weeks' booth, Sydney Coons, Cat and Robin Typer, and Ojiro Sniper." 9.5, counting Mycroft. Martin smiled. Any other frequent guests? Our regular guards and maintenance people, plus Cat or Robin, bring a revolving array of dates home. Thisbe, sometimes too. I'll send you a list of recents. We reached the fatal spot. Here it is, Nepos, untouched, just as ordered. I showed Martin the trash bin beneath a corner cabinet where the paper marked with kanji protruded like a flag between an ancient mannequin hand and most of a plastic horse. Martin moved carefully around the bin to let his tracker image every angle, then pulled out a pocket scanner to search for fingerprints and DNA. "Is this a household trash bin?"
"The trash mine delivery bin," Occam answered. "There's 10 million tons of dump under the city. Aluminum and plastics mostly, nothing older than turn of the millennium. A lot was hollowed out to make space for the computers, but the city's still mining the rest, and every Bosch house has a right to rent a bot to look for particular types of items if we want. Thisbe has a thing for ancient toys." Martin leaned close.
"It's certainly the right kind of paper."
Occam glared at the crumpled sheet as if it were a spider he would squish if not for poison. "Do they really write their articles in pen on real paper? That must take forever."
"Actually, members," I ventured, "as I understand, they just do it for the notes for the most important article each week." It felt warm, being among men who knew me well enough that I could safely share my newspaper geekery.
"What for?"
"It's Black Sakura's titular tradition," I answered.
"The folklore is that the Sakura cherry tree blooms pink because its roots drink the blood of the dead. So the premise is that a dedicated reporter is so steeped in ink their veins would stain the blossoms black."
Occam gave an approving nod. Martin did not, and I caught his eyes straying from the alien characters on the envelope to me. Martin does not acknowledge Machiavelli. When a wrong action will yield a good result, even so small a wrong as breaking the taboo on translating another hive's language, he halts like a parent unwilling to admit to a child that its favorite toy is lost. It is not that he fears dirtying his hands, nor even that the wrong itself deters him. Rather, I think he hates admitting that this world contains such shades of gray.
Occam doesn't mind gray. "Earn your supper, Mycroft. What's it say?"
Reconciled to the practicality, Martin scanned the paper's internal contents and brought the Japanese before my eyes.
"Don't translate everything. Just enough to verify that it is a 710 list."
He hesitated.
"And tell me the last three names. The motive may lie in them."
Occam cocked his head. "I thought the big money was people betting on the order of the big seven."
"That's the bulk of the money, yes. But the three unpredictable names at the bottom, numbers 8, 9, and 10, are about to skyrocket in celebrity. So if investments can be made, interviews or contracts set up in advance, 3 million is nothing against the potential profit."
"Yes. Cardi does get a rush of calls whenever their name makes a list."
Martin cocked his head.
"Cardi?"
"Sniper," Occam answered.
"Ojiro Cardigan Sniper."
I don't know that I'd ever seen Martin snicker before, but everyone snickers the first time they learn that the legendary sniper answers to Cardigan at home.
"Read it, Mycroft."
I cannot unlearn the skills of my youth. I may let them rot as a retired boxer sets aside his gloves, but I cannot unsee the words couched in the strokes of languages I have no right to know. I feel guilt, if that consoles you, reader, when I eavesdrop unwillingly on Masons or humanists or Japanese Mitsubishi chatting in their private tongues. I can at least do some penance by sharing my skills on those occasions when translation is a benefit to all.
"It is a 710 list," I confirmed. "Just names, no notes. The top seven are the standard seven. The final three are..." I wrestled with the less familiar transliterations. "Darcy Sock, Crown Prince Leonor of Spain, and Deputy Censor Jiang Su-hyun Ansele Kosala."
"Crown Prince Leonor?" Occam repeated. "Not the king? That'll ruffle feathers."
Martin was still leaning close. "This has been crumpled around something, but there's nothing inside."
His scan was at work, recreating the paper fiber by fiber on our screens, but whatever beginning of a shape the crumpled paper might have traced was erased for me by the scream. Three voices at once, which came through my earpiece at the same moment that it echoed up the stairs from the lower floor.